Kinsey are here. So any other kids? Come.
Jesus on trial before the Jewish High Council. Peter had followed to see what would happen. When he is questioned by the servants of his association with Jesus, he denies Jesus three times. And when the rooster crows the second time, his denial wrecks him and he weeps bitterly. Where have we denied Jesus? Our reading today is from Mark 14, verses 66 through 72. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. The word of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who dwells richly in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. We have been in the Gospel of Mark all summer long, and for those who have been reading along with us and studying with us, I pray that it's been a good journey for you, to help you strengthen your faith, to have a greater awareness of what God has done for you by sending Jesus into our lives to guide us in our journey on this earth. This week's readings have taken us to the climax of the gospel, where Jesus' clash with the religious leaders has led to his arrest and his trial. And so where I'd like to focus, if you haven't guessed that from the reading tonight, is I want to focus on that particular text where we focus on Peter's denial. Now, I suspect that there are times that we had denied Jesus as well. Now, it may not be blatantly obvious to others. We may attend church. We may participate in a Bible study or a small group. We may read God's word on a regular basis. We may even commit to a regular, regimented prayer life. And we seem like we're covering all of the bases. At least that's what we tell ourselves. But I also surmise that in our everyday lives, oftentimes in small ways that maybe we don't even think about, we deny our Lord. Again, not realizing we're doing so. Maybe it's in that off-color joke that you listen to or even then repeat. Maybe it's that little white lie you tell yourself that won't do anybody any harm. Maybe it's that missed opportunity to share your faith or what God has done for you in an opportune moment with a person who needed to hear that. It could be even the example that we fail to set for our children or our grandchildren or others. Well, let's look at Peter on a deeper level tonight as we dive into this text. In our text, of course, we discover Peter's there in the courtyard of the high priest's house where Jesus is on trial, being questioned by the Sanhedrin, the high Jewish council. And from the text, we see that on three separate occasions, Peter is recognized as a follower of Jesus. And each time that he's confronted, his denial grows ever stronger until at the very end, just as Jesus predicted, when the rooster crowed the second time, Peter had denied his Lord three times. And it hit him squarely in the face, and it broke him in that moment. And he went out and he wept bitterly. That's the heart of the account as we know it, but let's back it up a little farther and get a larger perspective on what has taken place up to this event. If we go earlier in chapter 14, Mark shares that Jesus had celebrated the Passover with his disciples. We know it was at that event that Jesus would share his Last Supper with them, a meal where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper as we know it today. The bread and the wine reminding us of his body and his blood that was broken and shed for us on the cross. But before we get to the cross, Jesus foretells Peter's denial. It's not just Peter's denial that Jesus stated in Mark 14, 27. He says, "You will all fall away, for as it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." So after the meal, they go out to the Mount of Olives, into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus instructs the disciples to watch while he goes ahead to pray. And if you ever look at that prayer, what a heart-wrenching prayer that is. Jesus knows what's about to take place. And he's kneeling down before God. He's asking God, "Lord, if you will, take this cup from me, and yet not my will, but thy will be done." Wow. Thy will be done. Part of what we pray in the Lord's Prayer, is it not? Thy will be done. Shortly after that, Judas then comes into the garden with the guards, the temple guard, to arrest Jesus. And so what happens to the other disciples in that moment? Every one of them flees. Mark even shares a couple of quick verses about himself as the young man who was wrapped only in a linen cloth. And when they tried to seize him, the linen cloth dropped behind him, and he ran away naked. And while they're all fleeing, where's Peter? What does Peter do? He pulls out a sword. He cuts off of the ear of one of the servants. So Peter's still there. He's hanging in there. He's defending Jesus. The rest are gone. They're hiding for the fear of their own lives. And when you keep reading on in that story, you discover as Jesus is then led away by the temple guard and Judas and the other leaders, Jewish leaders, Peter follows at a distance, right into the courtyard. He has boldly followed right into the snake's den. There's no denial yet. And when you think about Peter's actions up to this point, they are heroic. He is defending Jesus. He's staying by his side as he had promised earlier. Even though they all fall away, I will not. So he's keeping his word. Now, make no mistake, we know what happens, right? Peter fell to a temptation which would have come only to a man of fantastic courage. When we read this account, and when we criticize Peter for falling into temptation, we should be very careful, because most of us would have run away with the other disciples. We would never would have made it this far. We would never have been confronted the same way that Peter was, because we, again, wouldn't have made it there. But you know, every person has their breaking point. And Peter reached his here in the courtyard. Henry Blackaby, in his Experiencing God study, shares this. He said, "The Bible is the record of God accomplishing his purposes through his people. It's not the record of his people's walk with him. It's a different focus. The focus of the Bible is God. The essence of sin is a shift from God-centeredness to a self-centeredness. The essence of salvation is the denial of self, not an affirming of self. We must come to a denial of self and return to a God-centeredness with our lives. Then God has us where he can accomplish through us purposes he had before he created the world." Focus has got to be on God. And Peter had to be broken of his own self-preservation in that moment before he could truly and wholly serve God. That's why he went out and wept bitterly. It utterly wrecked him that he recognized, that he realized that in that moment he had denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And again, it's a story that Peter would repeat, which is why we've got it recorded here. He would repeat this for the rest of his life, not because of the bad that it did, but because it pointed ahead to Christ, admitting in that moment his worst failures. He knew that Jesus still loved him. That's exactly what we need to hear today. Again, no matter how bad I am, no matter what I may have done, as St. Paul reminds us at the end of Romans 8, there's nothing whatsoever that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Now, don't try to do that, but when you do that, realize that God's love is always still there. So the first thing we remember is that we all deny Jesus. The second thing we need to know is that we also experience God's mercy. I know our focus this summer has been the Gospel of Mark, and I have even said myself that we need to stick to Mark. Let's focus solely on Mark, but I'm going to break that tonight, okay? Because there's so much here in the other Gospels that point to this moment in Peter's life, and it's there for our sake as well, that remind us of the brokenness, the mercy, the restoration that occurred in Peter's life, and which can occur in our lives as well. So I'm going to turn just for a moment to Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Luke records what Jesus says to Peter right before he predicts Peter's denial. And I love this text because it's one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible besides the Lord's Prayer. Jesus says in Luke 22 there, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed." Do you hear that? Jesus is saying, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. When you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." Wow. What powerful words. Jesus was praying for Peter and his future, defending him from the devil himself. Jesus isn't saying that Peter won't fall and fail. Every heroic person in the Bible has done the same. From Abraham to Moses to David to Solomon. And all of us have a chink in our armor as well that puts us all on that same level playing field. We're all sinners. We all need God's love and grace and forgiveness. And that's the good news, right? the good news that we have a Savior in the person of Jesus who bore the weight of our sin on his shoulders. As he went to that cross, he died for our sins. He died in our place, taking the wrath of God, his punishment that we deserve. He took that all on himself so that we would not die eternally, so that we would not be separated from God forever. Jesus redeemed us. He paid the price in his blood so that we might be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. And we should. That's the heart of our belief and our faith, what Jesus has done for us. Think about the impact of those words to Peter in that moment, right before he fell and denied Jesus. Again, Satan wanted him, right? Just like he did Judas. But Jesus wasn't going to let him have Peter. I love again, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Again, we all fail. We all will. But our faith will not. And that's why Peter went out and wept bitterly, because he knew again, Jesus still loved him. He knew that Jesus would forgive him. Jesus has full confidence that Peter's faith in him will guide him through that valley of the shadow of death. And then he tells him, when you have turned, when you have come back to me, when you have received that forgiveness and grace, go and strengthen your brothers, because they're facing the same trials that you're facing. That's powerful. We're here to strengthen and encourage one another. There's a story of a beautiful cathedral in Switzerland. High pillars, beautiful stained glass windows, one of the most beautiful pipe organs in the region. People would come from far and wide to hear the lovely tunes of that organ. One day, something was wrong with the pipe organ. It released the wrong notes with sounds of disharmony. It was awful. Musicians and experts were called in from around the world to try and repair this fantastic organ. No one could find what was actually going on, what was wrong. It was made unique, customized. No one knew how to fix it, so they gave up. After some time, an old man came and asked, "Why isn't the pipe organ being used? It's not playing right," he was told. "Let me try." The people were desperate because no one had been able to find the problem. So they agreed to let him look at it. For 2 days, the man worked in silence. The church elders were getting a bit nervous. Then on the third day at noon, suddenly the music came. The pipe organ gave off better music than had been heard in years. The people in the village heard it. They came to check it out. The old man was playing the organ. And after he finished, one man asked, "How did you fix it? How did you manage to restore this magnificent instrument when even the world's experts could not?" The old man answered, "It was I who built this organ 50 years ago. I created it, and I have restored it." Well, that's what God has done for us. God created the universe. That includes you and I. Sin enters in and destroys this life. It's no longer good and perfect. It cannot give out beautiful music. So God sent Jesus into this world to restore it, to take away our sin, to bring us eternal life. And when our lives are in tune with God's, then we can make beautiful music once again and glorify him. So there's denial, there's mercy, and there's restoration. Again, we turn to another gospel, the Gospel of John. This time after the resurrection, where Jesus appears on the beach while the disciples are out fishing. And then after breakfast, as they come ashore, Peter has an encounter with the risen Christ, the one he had denied 3 times earlier in the courtyard of the high priest. This is the familiar text for many of us, John 21, 15 to 17. In that text, Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Simon, son of John, Do you love me? Whereupon Peter answers, yes, each time. And then Jesus instructs him to feed his sheep. That threefold denial earlier was met with a threefold call, restoring Peter to a future service to Jesus and his church. The fisherman had now become a shepherd. You know, sometimes this process is painful and challenging, even for us today. And like Peter, we know there's times we've denied our Lord. We feel the bitterness, we feel the shame, we feel the guilt. But again, Jesus doesn't give up on us. We need to know that. He died to save us, to restore us, to forgive us. Because like Peter, he's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. He gives us another chance so that we may shine that light, his light, into a world full of darkness, that others may come to know and believe in the one who is our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray. Gracious God, remind us that we are sinners in need of your forgiveness, grace, mercy, and love. And that when we repent and you forgive us, Lord, you restore us, you renew us so that we might do the works you have called us to do, to share your good news, to touch other people's lives, to make a difference, to point other people to you. So, Lord, help us to continue that work you have called each of us to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious God, when we fall short and fail and even deny you before others, may we be mindful that our failures cannot overweigh the abundance of your grace. So forgive us, renew us, and help us to follow you more dearly day by day. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we pray for our community, our schools, our nation, and all who lead where they are called. Guide them with your wisdom, help them to be good stewards of this earth, and help us all to serve one another out of your love for us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, grant healing and hope to all who are sick or ill, those recovering, those facing upcoming treatments or tests or surgeries. We pray especially for Linda Grona, who was hospitalized, for those on hospice, Christy Went, Alice Behrens, and Emma Hirschfield, and for any who may continue to be grieving for the loss of a loved one. Grant them your grace, your peace, your help, and your hope, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, strengthen your church and its mission to share the good news of the gospel with the world that needs to hear it. May we make use of every opportunity that we have to let people know about this God who loves us, who forgives us, and whose earnest desire is to bring us to everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our closing song.